Genesis chapter 35, and we'll get into the text here because I'm sure you're tired of standing already. And in verse number 10, the Bible says, "And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land." And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and poured out a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel. I want to focus on that verse right there in verse number 15. The Bible says, "And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel." I want to preach on that thought, Bethel, here tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to move out of the way. And Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit just to take control. And Lord, we just pray that you would come down in a mighty way. And Father, I pray that you would speak to each heart that's here tonight. And Father, I just pray that if there's somebody here that's not saved, Lord, I pray tonight would be the night of their salvation. They would walk the aisle and call upon you as Savior. No doubt that would be such a great blessing to the pastor tonight to hear that somebody getting saved in the church here this evening. And Lord, I pray that you would just move. And Lord, I pray you move among Christians. Lord, I pray you'd fill me. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm just a poor country preacher and I'm just a simple preacher. I need you tonight. And I beg for your Spirit, Lord. I beg that you would come down and move and do something supernatural in our midst. When we look back, we can say we were glad to be here and what great, wondrous and great things you've done. And Father, we'll be very careful to praise you and give you all the glory tonight. We thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated. Jacob, of course, is the third down from Abraham in that lineage there, in that Abrahamic covenant, if you will, with that inheritance. You know, Jacob is very interesting, a very interesting character in the Bible. Jacob, his name means trickster. And when you study his life as a young man, especially, he lived up to his name. Amen. He had a brother named Esau. And of course, Jacob was not the firstborn. Esau was the firstborn. And that blessing or that inheritance, that Abrahamic covenant, the promise that God made with Abraham was going to be passed down to the firstborn of each lineage. And there Esau was next in line. But Jacob, of course, living up to his name as trickster, him, with the aid of his mother, Rebekah, it deceived his dad. He deceived him. And I want to tell you tonight, you reap what you sow. Amen. Because many people think, well, Jacob got it. He got the blessing. He tricked his dad and he deceived him. He deceived Esau, and as he came in hungry and from the field, and he deceived him with that bowl of lentils to sell his birthright. You think, man, he won. He got the victory. But I want to say this, that listen, he paid a great price in his life. He paid the price of his own sons later would deceive him. Judah would come and talk about his son Joseph, one of his favorite sons, a young man that he gave a coat of many colors to. And his sons would come back and lie and deceive him. So don't think that you get away with your sin, amen. Don't think that you can deceive and do all that and think that God's not going to repay that in your life. Everybody with me tonight? Jacob was very stubborn. Now, as a young man, I know that's hard to believe that a young man would be stubborn. Amen, tonight. If you have your Bible there, go to Genesis 32. Genesis 32. And in verse number 24, the Bible says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Jacob was a very stubborn young man. Now, there's five lessons by way of introduction. I just want to help you tonight just five lessons. Now, these aren't the points. We hadn't even gotten to the message tonight, amen? But these are five things that I think you can draw from Jacob being young, being stubborn, and things that you can draw from his life. One is this: we need forgiveness, and it only comes by the mercy of God. The second is God honors perseverance, especially in our seeking of Him. You know what's missing in Christianity tonight? Is determination. I heard a message preached this afternoon about Elisha and how God saw him out there with the 12 yoke of oxen and how hard and how determined he had to be to plow that field and to be able to carry that weight and to get out in what he did. And I'll tell you, that's one thing that's missing tonight in Christianity is a determination. Amen. You say, preacher, what else do we see from Jacob's life? I believe we see our identity is in Christ tonight. Amen. Our identity is in Christ. Fourthly, we see that God wants us to know Him intimately, and we'll see that with Jacob tonight. Also, we see a closeness to God requires humility. And that's what trips off a lot of people. A lot of people, they want to be close to God, but they don't want to humble themselves. They want to be prideful and be arrogant. And you know, they've been in church for a good while. Nothing wrong with being in church for a good while. But if we're not careful, the Bible says the knowledge puffeth up. And the more knowledge we get in, the more scripture we memorize and things like that, we have to be very careful and be very wise to the fact that we realize that Satan is real. He's evident. He's out there. And he can even use that to think, man, all of a sudden we think we're way up here and everybody else is way down here. And we really think that we're close to God with that kind of mindset. Jacob got things right with his brother Esau. We see that later on. But I want to say the remainder of his life, the remainder of what he went through was not a picnic by any means. Of course, I mentioned he was deceived by his son. But can I say this, that he lost his wife, Rachel, in childbirth, giving birth to the last son, Benjamin, there. He would later spend his last days in a foreign land, not the promised land, not the land of Canaan, but in a foreign land called Egypt, there because of the famine that took place and the fact that his son, Joseph, had risen to second in command. Things had gotten tough in his life from time to time. And I want to be honest with you tonight, the thing that got him through, and the thing that will get you through, and the thing that will get me through, what I've learned now, and so in these years of ministering, in these ministry years of serving God, is that we need to have a Bethel. You will not get through the tough times without a Bethel tonight. Jacob could not have gotten through the tough times without a Bethel in his life. Bethel, by definition, means house of God. You have your Bible, go to Genesis 35. Genesis 35, back here in the text in verse 15. He says, "And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel." Bethel was actually called Luz. If you study it out, and the Bible even mentions that it was first called Luz. It's located 10 miles north of Jerusalem. It's not a big parcel of land. And if you were to look at it, I've looked at pictures and I'm praying and I'm hoping one day I would like to take a trip and go to Israel and see all these places firsthand. And it just helps with the geography and knowing the layout and knowing all those things. As a young preacher, that should be something that you would want to desire, to go out and to see these places firsthand, to stand on Mount Carmel, to stand there at Calvary, to see the Garden Tomb, to see these things firsthand. But looking at pictures online, it's basically a place in ruins right now. But a small place, not a big parcel of land. But I'm telling you tonight that that place, it changed Jacob's life forever. Now, several events took place there, and that's what I want to help you with tonight. Because if you and I will establish a Bethel in our life, God will change your life forever. You have your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. You say, preacher, what happened there in Bethel with Jacob? I believe the first thing we see here in Scripture is that he saw God. That he saw God. In Genesis chapter 28, In verse number 10, the Bible says this, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. And it says, and lay down in that place to sleep, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread it abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He said, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. You listen to what happened to Jacob here. It says, and Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? There is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Can I tell you that, listen, while he was at Bethel, while he was there, he had a vision. He saw God. Now, I'm not talking about something crazy tonight. I'm not talking about Oral Roberts or some kind of spooky nonsense. Listen, I'm talking tonight that he saw God. God came to him in a vision. You read about many occurrences in the Old Testament where that happened, where God came to prophets in a vision, gave them a vision. You read there in how God showed up to people. I want to tell you that even though physically speaking, he doesn't show up like he did back then, you have to remember those folks didn't have the completed Word of God at that time, like you and I have. And even though he doesn't show up physically like that anymore, he doesn't show up in the sense of physically showing up in a vision, in the sense of what Jacob had in this dream. When he had this dream, it was to teach Jacob one thing and one thing alone, that I am God and you are not. That I have the access to heaven and you don't. You read on in Genesis, if you were to read at the beginning of this, you would read about a tower that was built in Babel, and you would read how they tried to reach to the heavens, how they thought they could reach and stretch out and span to the heaven. And listen, God was telling Jacob, he said, hey, you can't do that. Only I grant that access. Amen. But while Jacob was there, he saw God. Let me ask you, even though physically we can't see him, has there been an encounter in your life where God has shown up? I'm talking about through a situation. I'm talking about through a circumstance. I'm talking about in some kind of problem, in some kind of trial in your life, you felt alone. And I tell you, that's when you get in Bethel. That is when you're there, my friend. And you are in there and God shows up. He shows himself to you. He comes out. He's alive and he's awake and he... You know, there's a lot of folks, unfortunately, they're sitting in church tonight, and the only thing they know about God is whenever he's read here in the Bible. They know him as a character in the Bible. I'm telling you, God is real tonight, amen? And when you come to Bethel, yeah, I'll tell you, he shows up in that place. One thing that's said about Jacob, whenever he saw God, that it said he was fearful. He said, this place is dreadful. And you can tell people that have seen God in their life because they have a fear and a reverence for God in their life. That's what I believe with Ogden. I believe that's what's missing also in Christianity today, is a fear of God. Out in Quinlan, out in the area that we're in, every morning I drive, or every Sunday morning when I was driving from Van that way, I would cross those bridges, and maybe y'all see it. I know y'all run a bus out that way, and maybe the bus driver, Brother Tim, or whoever's driving the bus sees it, and you look out there, and they have all kinds of boats, people out there fishing on Sunday morning. And sometimes I wonder if that person's saved, and I wonder if that person's saved, and I'm wondering if that person's saved. I'll be honest with you, if I was saved, I wouldn't be out on a boat on Sunday morning, amen? I'd be too afraid that God would sink that thing while I'm on it. But I'm telling you tonight that there are folks that, listen, they play games with God. They think that they can trick him. I'm telling you, Jacob, he thought, hey, he had everybody fooled. He had his dad fooled. He had everybody around him fooled. But he realized that, man, I can't fool God. It'd be a good thing, young people, and be a good thing, older folks, that we just learned that tonight, that you're not going to fool God. He showed up. He saw God. You have your place there in Genesis 28. Not only did he see God, but it also says he spoke to God in verse number 20. In verse number 20, it says, "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." When I looked at those pictures, I saw it shows a big stone that's set up like a pillar, and many people believe that's the stone that Jacob rose that he had lifted there when he made that vow. But you know, Jacob is kind of interesting how he does this, because I just believe that he went around this the wrong way. Because what he said, when you read the wording of it, he said that, "Well, God, you can be my God as long as you do this, as long as you do this, as long as you do this. I'll let you be my God." You realize he's God regardless of what he brings in your life. Amen. That ain't changing. And it'd be good if we realize that we're not going to put limitations on it and say, "Well, God, if you'll give me a big house, you'll give me a nice truck, you'll give me this, you'll give me this, I'll let you be my God." But there's a lot of folks that have that mentality. "Well, God, if you're not blessed in my life, then I'm not going to let you be my God. If things aren't going good in my life, then, well, if things start raining and bad problems come in my life," you tell you what, the first thing that a lot of people let go is their ministry, let go of church, let go of tithing, let go of all that. I'll tell you what they're doing. They're saying, "God, I'll let you be my God as long as everything's going good in my life." He spoke to God. And I want to say this, that God spoke to him. He made a vow. I told our church there in Quinlan, be very careful about when you make vows to God, because God will hold you accountable for the vows that were made. I saw the post by your preacher after the faith promise commitments and all that came out, and I'm telling you, that blessed my heart to see over $100,000 come in through missions and all that. But just be mindful. You have your Bible, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Because the Bible speaks very clearly about making a vow. Jacob made a vow that day before God that he would be his God. But listen to verse number 1 in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It says this, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice to fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words." Now watch it. "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he had no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay." You say, why? "Suffer not thy mouth to cease thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that is an error, wherefore God should be angry at thy voice." I tell you, you want to make God angry? Make a vow to him and go back on him. That'll anger God. That'll get him mad. That'll draw his attention in a way that you don't want to know. You know, when you study Bethel, it's an amazing place, because there, years later, Jeroboam would set up what would be known as a state temple. Now, I'll be honest, the way he went about that was wrong. He took men off the streets to be the priests, and he just kind of made a mockery of it. God sent what was known as the man of God. You read about him in the book of Kings, to go there to warn him there in Bethel, to tell him, "Hey, to stop what you're doing. It's not right. You've got to stop." And he went there, and the king, he shook his finger out at him, and it froze, and he paralyzed it. And all of a sudden, Jeroboam said, "Hey, man, there must be something to this." He got his attention. See, not only did God speak to Jacob there, he spoke years later to a king there. Bethel is a place that you can hear the voice of God. Let me ask you, when's the last time you heard the voice of God in your life? When's the last time you spoke to God and God has spoken to you? You know, you read in the Old Testament of a man named Jephthah. You have your Bible. Go to Judges chapter number 11. Judges chapter number 11. Judges chapter number 11. In verse number 30, the Bible says, "And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, it shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." Now Jephthah had no idea what would come out of the house that day. He had no idea that when he got there, he was probably thinking it would be some animal. He was thinking it would be something that he would just sacrifice. It'd be some kind of ram. It'd be bullock. It would be something that he would sacrifice. But go down to verse 34. It says, "And Jephthah came to Mizpah to his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child beside her. He had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." Friend, I'm telling you tonight that, listen, we have to be very careful about how we open our mouths to God. Amen. He sacrificed his only daughter because he opened his mouth. I'm not trying to scare you tonight. I'm just trying to help you tonight. To understand that when we make a vow to God, let's be very careful, amen, in what we say. Let's make sure we pray about it. Let's make sure we take time to make sure that this is God's leading in our life. He spoke to God. When's the last time that you spoke to God? When's the last time God has shown up in your life? You know, you're not careful, you can go through what would be known as kind of the church game or routine, where it's just, you come Sunday morning, you come to Sunday school, you sing in the choir, you come Sunday evening, you come Wednesday night, and it can become, I don't want to say habitual, but, you know, where you're just kind of going through the motions. And if you're not careful, listen, you can miss it, and God will not show up in your life. And I want to say this, that Bethel... Don't misinterpret what I'm saying tonight. But Bethel is a place where you and God get alone. I read about the older preachers, men like Jack Hiles, and older preachers that would pray all night. You say, "Richard, what are they doing? Why would they do all that?" I'll tell you why. Because they were trying to get into Bethel, amen. They were trying to get in that place where God would show up. They were trying to get in that place where, listen, they could speak to God and God would speak through them and speak to them. And now we live in a day and age where it's so busy and we don't have time, and we got this going on and that going on in our life, and our schedules are full. We have doctor's appointments. We have this going on and this in our life, and we don't slow down enough to where we miss Bethel in our life. You're looking at a man that's got a busy schedule. I work 60 hours a week there in Terrell. Pastor of church outside that. I mean, my schedule's pretty full, amen. But one thing I've learned, one thing that God has showed me, is that you have to have a Bethel, amen. You have to. No matter how busy you are. You need it in your life. Jacob, he needed this place called Bethel. It was a place where he was able to hear from God, to see God. But not only that, but he showed God that day. Genesis 32, you have your Bible there. Genesis number 32. Everybody still with me? How many men do we have in here that's called to preach? Just raise your hand. I see several. Amen. You're young in the faith, Brother Ogden. I would encourage you. I remember being in Bible college, and Dr. Bob Smith used to always tell us, he'd say, "Hey, sons, y'all have to get, you've got to get alone with God. You've got to have that time. You get out in the woods, do whatever it takes, but man, just get out there and get with God." And I'm telling you tonight, if you don't have a Bethel, I would encourage you tonight to come to this altar, to decide that I am going to have a Bethel. I'm going to have a place in my life where God is going to show up, where God is going to speak to me, and I'm able to speak to Him. Genesis 32, Lastly here, in verse 24, it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And it said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' Now watch what happens here. And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with man, and hast prevailed.'" I can tell you in my ministry and in my life, especially these last several years, that there's been times where I've gotten alone with God, and I'm telling you, I've grabbed a hold of Him and I've shook Him. And I don't want to let Him go. I don't want to let Him go until He changes the situation. Christian, you're going to go through some hard times in your life. You say, "What are we going to need?" I'll tell you what you're going to need. You're going to need Bethel. You're going to need that place where you can get alone with God. And listen, you can put your hands on Him and shake Him and hold on to Him until He changes the situation. Jacob quit playing tricks. He got real with God. He decided that the games, the tricks are over. And tonight, maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're somebody here and you've been playing games and you think you've got everybody fooled around you. But listen, tonight you do not have God fooled. He sees. He knows. You don't have Him fooled. What I find amazing is that once he got real with God and got real with himself, God changed his identity. He said, "You're not going to be called Jacob anymore, but you're going to be called Israel." Now, in the Hebrew, Israel, Yisrael, means fighter of God or triumphant, triumphant with God. And this was a man that deceived his dad. This is a man that played tricks on folks, that just wanted his way, and he just wanted his thing. He wanted to do his own thing. And now he came to a place where he was real before God, and God said, "Hey," he said, "man," he said, "now I'm going to use you. Now you're going to be what I want you to be." You'll never be what you want to be for God until you decide to get real with Him. The longer you play games, the more it holds off. Today, they have that country, Israel. You say, where does it come from, Israel? It comes from a man that found a place called Bethel. Amen. That's why Israel has its name. Israel would end up giving birth to these boys, these 12 tribes of Israel that would divide out and then make up the province of Israel or the population there within Israel. But he was a man that was a trickster that went to being triumphant with God. I wonder tonight, what have you shown God in your life? What does God know about you? Maybe tonight you've just been playing games. Maybe tonight you've just been playing and you think, "Well, I got everybody fooled. I got the preacher fooled. I got the Sunday school teacher fooled. I got the deacon fooled. I got all these people around you." I'm telling you tonight, you don't have God fooled. He sees the truth. You see, Jacob, he fooled everybody around him, but he couldn't fool God. And I'm telling you tonight, you say, "Preacher, what changed him?" A place called Bethel. A place where God showed up. A place where God spoke up. And a place where God showed him, and he showed God what he was made of. You know, there's a song that was written. It goes this way: "Back to Bethel I must go, back where the rivers of sweet waters flow. Back to the true life my soul longs to know. Bethel is calling, and I must go." I wonder tonight, have you gone to Bethel? Have you been there? Do you have a Bethel? Maybe you think, "Well, preacher, I don't know. I'm just new to this thing. And I don't know. I just got saved and I'm still learning." I'll tell you, establish a Bethel in your life. You know, Bethel is not geographically for you and I. It's not in a certain place. It's when we get alone with God. Amen. It doesn't have to be 10 miles north of Jerusalem tonight. Listen, it could be around in your back patio. It could be in your living room. It can be in your vehicle. It can be just a place where you and a God get alone and you pour out your heart to Him and you tell Him what's on your heart and you just get alone and you wrestle with Him and you just pour your soul out to Him. And listen, He'll show up. He'll speak to you. And you can show Him who you are. And I'm telling you, God will use you in ways that you couldn't ever possibly imagine. I don't believe Jacob could ever possibly imagine how God would use him. The fact that his name still exists today, it's an amazing thing.